Hi, I'm Meredith.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to I'm Not Scared, You're Scared,
a horror movie podcast.
If you are a fan of the show, please like and follow us on iTunes and Spotify and review us. It'll help spread the word.
Also, you can follow us on Instagram at I'm Not Scared, You're Scared, or email us at I'm Not Scared, You're Scared at gmail.com.
Joining us, we're here to recap, talk about Devil,
the fruits of the devil,
El Diablo, released in 2010. Ooh, oh, I forgot to look at the cast.
Chris Messina is like the main guy, the cop.
Yeah,
and then
he's recognizable face for sure.
Yeah, and then the mom from King of Queens, something oh something.
Oh, I've Bokeem never watched
Woodbine
that show.
Is in it. Yeah, like just a handful of kind of B-list faces.
Well, I'm glad Katie did her homework because I couldn't be arsed to do it. I was doing the recap.
You know, if they were performers that were beloved to us from like other projects or whatever, we
especially
would remark
in the
on it.
Horror genre. I would be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Bokeem Woodbine is in The Rock. And so I do love him from that.
Oh, okay. But, I don't think I've ever watched that movie.
Yeah. Oh, Meredith.
Whatever.
Somehow I feel like we've had this revelation once before.
It happened years ago.
Chastised you.
And you're like,
Meredith. Like, you live in the Bay Area. You should.
And I was like, yeah, what are you going to do?
That's the thing. If action movies aren't your genre, you're not going to enjoy it. But
they are
if
not.
If you like action movies, it is fucking amazing. It is
I
so
I only
good.
Like a few action movies, and yeah. I think it's because of nostalgia.
Yeah. Candyman is in it.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. He's maybe great. That's when we realized this the last time. I bet you when we did the Candyman episode.
I was like, I don't know.
I've never seen it. But yeah, uh-huh. No, like Ed Harris and Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage and Tony Todd and like the girl from All My Children and Claire Forlani.
All My Children.
What?
You didn't tell me she's in it. I gotta watch
sign
it.
Me up. Pause the recording. We have to go watch
I'm
it.
I'm gonna go. Yeah. I'll see you in a few hours. Okay.
But yeah, so what were we? Oh, right. Before we actually talk about the movie we're here to talk about, Meredith can tell us what's new with her.
Let's see. I have nothing really exciting to say. I'm going to be traveling to Peru next month.
Right.
With some, not next month, not October, but when this comes out, it'll be next month. Mm-hmm. And I'm going with a bunch of friends. We're going to go to Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca. I always have to laugh after I say that.
We're so American.
I'm a 9-year-old boy, I suppose. So we're trying to get in shape a little bit because I'll be walking a bunch. There's like trains and buses and things that'll take you up. But, you know, to get the good experience, you want to be, you know, pretty fit or as fit
as
I can
be. And it's at a higher elevation. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
So we're, my son, I have a group every Sunday. We've been going out and walking a few miles and, you know, taking the dogs out when it allows dogs. And so we went to Fort Funston this morning and walked 3 miles. And that was really, really fun. I like it. Like, I like getting up instead of being a lazy bum and mm-hmm. sitting in bed all morning. It's good to get out and get moving and then come back and be a lazy bum for the rest of the day.
Then you don't have to feel bad about being a lazy bum because you did something first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, so much of my day when I'm at work, I'm always on my feet and moving mm-hmm. all the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I feel worse when I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if I'm sitting for a while, my back starts to hurt.
Yep.
And I just feel really uncomfortable and I have like arthritis in my back and mm-hmm. other things. And I feel like it's probably good to get up and get moving.
Yeah.
At least once in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also watched last night after I binged our recaps or our movies for this recording, I, watched Together.
Oh, okay. How was it?
I liked it.
Was it wild?
It was wild.
Yeah.
It was good. I think it's like, it got pretty good reviews.
Okay.
Because there's funny parts. There's like, oh my gosh, like body horror. That's mm-hmm. crazy. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good watch.
Did you watch it on Plex or is it actually available somewhere?
I watched it on Andy's Plex. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's going to come out on streaming fairly soon, though, because it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine it won't be that long. Yeah. But I liked it. I thought it was nice. Good.
I'll put it on the list. I'm still waiting because Weapons is on streaming now, too, but it's not free yet.
It costs, yeah.
And it's just like if there was a bigger gap between the rental and the purchase fee, I would probably like something like Weapons. I want to see that. I'd pay, you know, to rent it. But it's like $20 to rent it or $25 to buy it.
Yeah. And I'm like, and you're like, it's going to be available in a few months. Yeah,
I can just wait. There's no reason I can't. I need to have it today.
I think you'll enjoy it.
But if it was like $6 to rent, yeah, maybe even 10, I would be like, all right, I'll pay that. Because I do. I mean, I know that if we don't give them money, we won't have these projects. Like, they need to make money off of them in order to. But then when you're already paying for 1,100 streaming services, it's
hard to justify. I get it.
Paying on top of that.
I saw it in the theater. So I paid. And I paid for popcorn? No, I didn't. Charlotte wanted. Because the two of us went, right. and she wanted snacks. So I was like, all right, like, you caught me on a good day. I will pay the money. I'm very cheap. I don't know if people, our listeners, know I'm very cheap.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm also a teacher, so it kind of goes with the territory.
Yeah, you kind of have to be.
You have to be cheap. But I enjoyed that movie, so I think you'll like it. And if anyone's interested in that kind of, it was eccentric. Mm-hmm. It was fun. And then also, this is very random, but it is kind of spooky. I got super into these bath products, and the company is called Twisted Allure, and the bath products are like weird bath bombs and body scrubs and stuff.
I think I just saw some in your bathroom. They have like goth like labeling.
Yep. And I've been using one was like smells like gummy bears, but it's like a milk bath and it's black.
Oh,
and
God.
It makes your bath water black. But you smell like your skin's really soft and you smell really good after.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like taking baths to like relax and stuff, and it helps my back. But then also I got one, it's called a blood bath. It's like red, bright red body soak.
Okay.
Which is so weird and demented. And Victor will come in and bring me, like, I'm like, I need a glass of wine in my relaxing bath.
Oh, boy.
And the sleepy boy. And I'm listening to, like, Pet Sematary in my blood bath. And it's just, you know, sometimes you got to embrace the things that bring you joy.
Yep.
And then I have like body scrub, and it's like witching hour. And it smells like graves, but it's like patchouli, earthy. But they have like fruit, like they have an array of scents.
Yeah,
it's not just like weird goth scents. It's like for any kind of you know, person who enjoys fruity stuff or whatever. Yeah. But the names are cracking me up. They laugh like I was laughing so hard, and it. I don't know. They're not a sponsor. But
if they wanted to.
If they wanted to be.
And then they could send us free samples.
Send me some blood bath body soak. But it's really fun. And especially for spooky season or if you enjoy kind of that kind of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And their products so far are like, they're bangers. Like, they are not just like
crap.
A gimmick. Mm-hmm. It's like actually quality stuff. So that's why I'm really enjoying it. Because it's like, I'm like, ooh, I'm so scrubbed and moisturized, and it's spooky too. So it was fun. Anyway, that's about it. And it's like I went on a weird tangent, but I enjoy it. So what's new with you? Did you tell me? I'm all confused.
Yeah, no.
Talking about bath stuff.
No, it was for spooky season for our, I mean, this is, I guess, de facto our Halloween episode. We had kind of a mystery occur in our household last night. So my daughter, Grace, has a hamster, Pepe.
Oh, yep, Pepe.
And it was because she, a while back, she and my son, it was like last spring, you know, they disappeared together, and we were like, huh, and we look at the, you know, find my iPhone or whatever, and we're like, oh, and they're at Petco. Oh, shit. And then they were at Petco for a really long time. We're like, oh, shit. And then they come home, and they've both got betta fishes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, well, all right. And then, sadly, my son's betta fish, like, immediately died, like, within a couple days. Mm-hmm. But Grace's lived for quite a while. But then when her fish died, she was like, I'm sad. Take me to Petco to make me feel better. Like, blah, blah. Like, I want to get a hamster. Like, all right, fine. And because with, like, fish, like those small animals that we've had for pets over the years, like, I store the stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's usually not a big investment, you know, like, oh, you want to get a betta fish, go spend $5.99 on a betta fish because we already have rocks and bowls and water treatment. And, you know, like, we have all the other stuff already. Mm-hmm. And so the same things for hamsters. I'm like, we have half a package of shavings already. We have a cage. We have bowls. We have water bottles. So all you're spending is the, like, $15 for the hamster. And she bought it herself. So I was like, I don't fucking care. So she gets Pepe. But the thing that always happens with hamsters is, because they are nocturnal, they run on their wheels at night, the wheel makes noise, and so then anytime she's ever had hamsters, she's always had to, like, move them out of her room at night or take the wheel out at night so that she can sleep. And so, you know, the hamster was, like, constantly out of her room at night, and she would just put it on the sofa outside her room, and then there'd be, like, shavings all over the sofa, and so we, like, finally figured out a spot in the room outside her bedroom where it's like, okay, so maybe he just lives here all the time. Like, you don't have to move him back and forth and everything, but we're not going to put him on the sofa. Like, this is where his cage goes. And so he'd been there for a little while. And so I pass him, like, daily because he's right next to the door to our garage. Whereas when he was in her bedroom, I never, you know, encountered the cage. But I love hamsters. I love little critters. Like, I grew up with all those kinds of pets. And so I was, you know, I love Pepe. And, like, if he was out, I'd stop and I'd, like, talk to him or, like, open it up and, like, scratch his head or whatever and check and make sure, like, oh, is she feeding him? Is she giving him water? And so yesterday I look in and I see that his food bowl is still half full of food, like, in the late in the day, which usually when she fills it, like, he immediately stuffs it all into his cheek pouches and takes it somewhere else in his cage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. And so then I look over in the back corner where he's normally buried under shavings, and I was like, Pepe, Pepe, and there was, like, nothing. And so then I, like, opened up the cage and I, like, kind of poked and everything, and there was nothing. And I was like, oh, fuck, Pepe's dead. So, I, like, closed up the cage because Tom was just getting ready to take Grace to a friend's house. And I, like, went back upstairs. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Pepe is dead. So, like, oh, after you, you know, leave to take her to a friend's house, I'm going to, you know, deal with that or whatever. So he leaves. And I, like, I had kind of started, then I, like, opened it up and I, like, took his wheel and was using it to push around the shavings, expecting at any moment to dislodge some stiff little hamster corpse.
Yeah.
And it wasn't dislodging it. And I was like, all right, so I got to take the whole fucking thing apart. So I take the top part off of the cage and I start picking, like, the wheel out and the food bowl out and all of this stuff. And then I go get a paper bag. And so I start, like, putting, like, handfuls of shavings into the paper bag to go get compost or whatever. And I keep going, I keep going, I keep going. He's not in there.
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
Oh, no.
And so I was like, oh, like, I wonder if, you know, he died and she, like, didn't tell us or whatever, like, something happened and she just didn't tell us. And so, like, whatever. And so when she gets home and, like, you know, she goes in downstairs and goes straight to her room or whatever. And so I know she would have seen that, like, the cage was out and all the shavings were in a bag or whatever. Then all of a sudden I get a text from her saying, where's Pepe? I was like, I was just about to ask you where Pepe was. He's not in there. And she has, like, no idea.
He went with Tommy to college.
Right? Well, that's, like, Tom was kind of joking about that. And I was, and then I was like, you know, or, you know, he was, like, it's like a Jesus, he's a Jesus hamster where he was, like, resurrected. Like, he ascended to heaven. And so the tomb was empty, mm-hmm. like, type of thing. But, yeah, so nobody has any idea where, what happened to the hamster.
Hmm.
He has vanished.
So he's just, like, running amok.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he could not have gotten out. Like, the cage would have had to have been left open mm-hmm. for him to get out. And okay. It was never left open at any time. So, yeah.
So.
We don't know.
What?
We don't know.
Wade and Garth.
But again, he would have had to get, because it's the cage is, like, up on a bookcase, and so they couldn't have gotten to it. If he had gotten out, I certainly think, like, if they had encountered him, they would have killed him. But we would have found evidence of that.
Yeah.
And so maybe he is, like, under a piece of furniture somewhere. Like, maybe he did get out and he's under the furniture somewhere. But yeah, it's just he just up and vanished.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you figure that out, because that could be a bad situation in, like, a few months.
could be spooky.
You're like, what's that weird smell. Oh no.
Or we find him like mummified when we move out and we like move the sofa in the room or something.
No, I'd like to think he's just like out in the city.
Oh yeah. he's went and got himself a little top hat and a cane. He's a fancy hamster now.
He's like, I'm gone. I have to go live my life.
I can't be bothered to stay in this cage any longer. Are you kidding
me? With these peasants.
Surrounded by my own turds all the time.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with this.
Yeah. But yeah, so we have a disappearing hamster.
Weird.
Yes.
Very strange. I wanna know what happened. If you find him, you let me know.
Okay.
I might be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I will update our listeners.
We need a hamster update.
Yes.
Okay. So I did the recap this week. And it starts out with a quote, Peter 5:8. Be sober. And every time I pause it just to type it up really fast. Mm-hmm. And every time on Peacock or whatever.
It kept going away.
And advertising for Doritos. So I had to be like, oh my gosh.
Oh, that classic Peter verse about Doritos.
Doritos, Cool Ranch. Be sober. Be sober. That's wrong. Be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
And actually, that's like one of the first errors because there is no book Peter. There's First Peter and Second Peter. So when you just say the book Peter, that's not an accurate Bible quotation.
That's what the movie says. And I know. Have to suspend disbelief. And then there's a narrator that just starts talking. And there's like an opening sequence of Philadelphia showing the city, but it's upside down.
Yeah, it's really like kind of cool and creepy. Mm-hmm. And the music is cool. Like, yeah. It's pretty thrilling.
It's like disjointed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he says, when I was a child, my mother would tell me a story about the devil roaming the earth, taking human form, hiding to be one of them. I always believed my mother was telling me an old wives' tale. So, but he's basically saying this happens, you know, an old wives' tale, dun, 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 except for now.
Those are always true.
Except for this is true. So
if you shave it, it will grow back thicker and darker.
That's true. No, I'm kidding. So we see the opening sequence, as I mentioned, of Philadelphia upside down. It's kind of cool imagery. And then we see a custodian working in a building, polishing the floor. He's leaning over to fix his machine. And suddenly someone lands outside, falls from the sky and into a like a bread truck or something.
Yeah, a big like panel truck.
Yeah, and it's very like doop, sudden. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
And he's like, he doesn't hear it or notice it. Like, he's facing away. And so it's just like, yeah, very
like
jarring.
A very random situation. So now it cuts to a diner scene with a man speaking to a friend. He's wearing kind of a nice, like, sports coat situation. Mm-hmm. And the other guy, and they're eating breakfast, chatting. The man in the nicer jacket is Detective Bowden. And he's talking about that he's like, I need to believe in something, and it's hard for me to believe in it because he's dealing with the loss of his family. And I put in parentheses, they are killed by a hit and run 5 years prior. Mm-hmm. And you get the impression that they're talking about his alcoholism. And eventually the other guy is like, as your sponsor, because he's like, why are we talking about this? Can't we just enjoy a nice breakfast? And he's like, as your sponsor, like, I need to have this conversation with you.
Yeah. You can just have chit chats with other people, but not with me. That's not what this relationship is for.
Sure. Yeah. And he's like, ugh, okay. So that's the detective was in a bad way at some point and has gotten his life back together and back on track, but he did have a really pretty good reason for losing his faith and his kind of will to live and taking care of himself. Later he goes to the scene where that man had or the person, we didn't know if it was a man or a woman actually, that had landed on that truck. Mm-hmm. And the person was holding they refer to him as the guy.
Yeah, and the hand looks, it looks kind of like an older man's hand. Not like aged, but.
Yeah, and it's holding a rosary. And the detective's trying to figure out where the person had jumped from, what building, because he's looking at the ground. He's like, there's no glass. Where did
this... The building they're next to is only like two stories high. And they're like, he like completely imploded the truck he landed on.
Yeah,
like,
there's no way that he came from this small two-story building. Now we're in the lobby as he's searching for answers. Mm-hmm. It cuts to a lobby of a really nice building. There's a salesman who walks in, a woman who's kind of a cute, you know, she's very fashionable. She kind of briskly walks in without signing in, and she's reprimanded. There's a security guard who's like, hey, you have to sign in. She's like, oh, he so-and-so knows me. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm
he's not here.
you got to sign it. There's an older woman who just is standing in the lobby kind of looking confused. Mm-hmm. And a guy in a hoodie who walks in, and they all get into the an elevator after the older woman sees, like, it's pretty cramped. Mm-hmm. He's like, there's room. And she's like, I'd rather wait for the next one. No, thank you. So they all get into an elevator. A salesman gets in, the security guard, who it turns out was a temp, it's like his first or second day, the cute kind of woman who tried to get through the lobby without signing in, mm-hmm. the older woman, and the guy in the hoodie.
Yeah, which I can't believe I forgot about them. That's Logan Marshall Green, who was in The Invitation. That we love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he was also really in Prometheus.
I think.
Yeah.
I loved him in The Invitation. He was great. I knew he looked familiar, too, but I didn't bother looking him up. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So suddenly, they, you know, are all in the elevator, and suddenly, oh, I forgot, the salesman, who's kind of a sleaze, is ogling the younger woman, and the older woman is staring at him kind of judgmentally, and he kind of
what are you gonna do?
Shrugs, like,
I checked out her ass. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta look at butts.
butts.
Yes. So suddenly the elevator stops, and it's in inspection mode. The security guy who's the security of the building are watching, just kind of, their job is to
monitor all the cameras.
The cameras, yeah. See what's going on with the elevators, look at the cameras in the lobby, all that stuff. And they are kind of like, oh, what's up with elevator? I can't remember the number, but six. They're like, oh, six. Oh, that's fitting.
Yeah.
It in maintenance mode. And they're like, they call the building maintenance guy, the engineer. They're like, is this you? And he's like, no, it wasn't me. And so they're like,
oh, I kind of like those two security, the ones that are in the screen room or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like the old white guy and then this young Latino guy.
Yeah.
And like, they're just kind of funny.
They are funny.
A little bit of a rapport.
I think they're meant to be, hopefully, a little bit of a
comic relief to some extent.
Yeah. So they're like, are you the one who did, you know, stop this and did maintenance? And he's like, no, I'm dealing with a broken window over here on floor 30, whatever, 38.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know as audience that's probably from the jumper.
Right.
That.
But all they know is that there's a broken
window.
There's
a big busted window.
Yeah, because there's no body outside the building, so they don't realize that somebody jumped out of it.
Right. So, those guys are trying to figure out what's going on, why the elevator's doing that. The older woman in the elevator, inside the elevator, she's rude and asks the security guard, like, why aren't you doing anything about this? Why don't you have your walkie-talkie?
Don't you maintain this kind of stuff?
Don't you do this? And he's like, I've just been here for, this is my second day.
Yeah.
So, and she's like kind of getting up his ass about it. And he's like, look, lady, I don't have answers for you. Like,
yeah.
Whatever this is, hopefully they'll get, you know, figured out. He does seem anxious a little bit, and he's like, he doesn't seem to enjoy being stuck in there. Mm-hmm. The salesman makes jokes. He's kind of making fun of the elevator music, making light of the situation a bit, but also he's kind of doing it in a jerky kind of way too. So like,
yeah, he's a little douchey.
Yeah. People don't really find him endearing. They think he's annoying.
Yeah.
Now we have the detectives. They are trying to figure out what's going on. with that body, and they find the building where the jumper originated from, because they see a custodian sweeping up glass.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, do you have a broken window here?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, yeah. And they're like, okay, stop sweeping. This is a crime scene. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's going on. So the maintenance guy, the engineer of that building, is trying to fix the elevator at this point. And then the narrator mentions souls are killed trying to intervene in the devil's plans. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh.
Innocent people just trying to help.
Yeah, you're like, that's probably not good.
Yeah.
In the elevator, the lights are turned off and back on, trying to reset the elevator, but that didn't really do anything.
I love that attitude of like how to fix any kind of technical problem. You know, like, did you try turning it off and turning it back on again?
Yeah, with most things, that's why.
That's a long-sticking elevator.
That's what I always try out myself too. Mm-hmm. So doesn't help. The temp security guard is nervous because he says he's a little bit claustrophobic. And the music is on and it's really annoying. And then the salesman suddenly starts talking about mattresses. He hands a business card. He's like, I don't know. He just like rubs everyone the wrong way. Nobody likes him. Suddenly someone grabs the younger woman's butt and she's like, ugh, like,
hey.
And
she thinks it's the salesman, right? Because she has her back to him in that moment. So who else would it be?
Yeah. And he's like, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
And she's like, you liar. Yeah. Like, who would it be? And then the lights begin to flicker and it makes the passengers really nervous inside the elevator car. And then as the lights are flickering and the camera, the security guards are watching the cameras because they're like, these people are stuck in here. We got on the security intercom. And I forgot to mention that they can talk to them, but they cannot hear anyone in the elevator speaking back to them.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to be able to, but
it's supposed to work both ways, but
right. It doesn't in this situation right now. So they're watching and suddenly there's a weird demonic image that pops up, on the footage, and it affects the Latino security guard because he's like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. Like, he's like stunned and a little kind of freaked out.
And I think, do you think at this point we're supposed to like have already kind of determined that he's the one giving the voiceover?
I think so. I mean, I figured that was him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they never pointed out overtly, but it's obvious that it's supposed to be him telling this story, especially
kind of like recounting what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then because as things get weirder and weirder, like he reacts in a way that shows that he's like, you know, believes in those things and is, you know, a spiritual person or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's the one that's like, that's the devil's face.
Don't you hate it when the devil just pops up when you try to turn off and on something?
An elevator?
Yeah, it doesn't work. Suddenly the lights go off and there's a noise. There's pushing. And a woman is on the ground with weird cuts on her back. She's like stunned. She's on the ground. She like, gets up. She's like, something just bit me. Like, it's the weirdest thing. I don't know. And she's like, feels her back and it's under her jacket. And it's like,
well, she had her jacket off. It was like, she had that blouse, like a sleeveless blouse on.
It's like silk.
Yeah. Like and a really nice top, but it was like underneath.
Yeah. And it starts bleeding. It's like, there's, blood that's like showing up on her back, but it didn't look like obvious cuts or something. It looked like weird bite.
Punctures. Yeah.
And she's like, what the hell is that? You know, this really hurts. And the salesman has blood on his suit jacket, which he initially tries to cover. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's nervous and he's nervous. She's nervous because something weird just happened to her. He's nervous because he just noticed there's blood on his suit.
So they're going to like blame him or think he did it.
Yeah. And then so he tries to cover it up and they're like, you have blood on your suit. And he's like, she fell into me. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
so you cut her? And he's like, no, she got cut and then fell into me.
And they're like already leery of him because they all think that he grabbed her ass.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they think he's like, I don't know. Something's not right about this guy. According to them. Like, right. That's what they think, and the red herring a bit for us. So anyway, she shows the security camera that what happened to her. It's like to show them that she was just assaulted. Mm-hmm. And she shows the guys who are watching, like, this just happened to somebody just attacked me.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, it's time to call the police.
Yeah.
You know, this is beyond our scope of.
Yeah. This isn't just people stuck in an elevator. Like now they're harming each other.
Yeah.
In there.
something happened. So the detectives are on the scene already because of the body that was there and the glass that was smashed in and it originating from that building. And the security guard, you know, he saw a weird image as he's going back. He's trying to, like, go back.
Mm-hmm.
And
frame by frame.
Yeah. And he's like, something weird's happening. And I saw, like, he's the devil, El Diablo. And the other guy's like, dude, cut that shit out. Yeah. don't say that to anybody. Yeah. We don't need to talk about that. So Detective Bowden and his partner are on the scene now, and he asks them to call the fire department, the elevator company, call the temp agency where that security guard came from. Mm-hmm. Like, he's on it. He's like, yeah. Okay, we're going to, like, basically raise the alarm. Mm-hmm. This situation is going to get worse if we don't get these people out of the elevator. Mm-hmm. So he wants to also know who all of them are, like, in the elevator.
It's like, I need to know about these people.
Yeah, the names they signed in with, what their purpose was here.
Why are they in this building?
Mm-hmm. Why were they here trying to go to what you know, offices or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's also tasked all these people with the security and everyone else who's helping get the names, all that stuff. Suddenly, lights are flickering again. And the woman, you know, she's anxious and nervous. She's been attacked. She's cut. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, feels like she's sees weird things, like things, whatever this is messing with her. Mm-hmm. And she suddenly has a vision of everybody bloody and dead on the ground.
Yeah.
And that freaks her out. And then suddenly her vision goes back to normal. And she's like, what's that? What the hell was that? The lights keep flickering and an attack happens. There's glass shattering because there's a mirror that's in the elevator. There's something moving in the elevator and it sounds like kind of demonic and creepy sounding. And there's suddenly a huge piece of glass that is launched into the salesman's neck. Yeah. And he is on the floor gasping for air, drowning in blood because he has a huge gash in his neck from this big, huge chunk of glass. And he appears to be dead.
Yeah.
And it happened super sudden. Everyone's like freaking out. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who did it.
Yeah.
And it was just out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And everyone watching, because now there's police watching, there's security watching the cameras, and they're like, what the hell was that? Yeah. You know, it's very sudden and scary. So so the guy's on the floor dead. The security guard's like, I'm sure the devil's near. And because he's like, when, you know, do you know how many times people fall and don't, you know, hit their head on a coffee table or whatever is happening? It's like now everything with a potential for danger is happening.
Right.
And ending in death and dismemberment and hurt people.
And then he throws his toast on the floor.
Then he threw his jam toast on the floor. He has jam and he's like, look, jam's jam, right down. The jam's down. The devil is near. I was like,
that's the test that you use.
Maybe that's like just maybe that explains the bad ratings this movie got, but I thought it was funny. Liked it made me laugh. Maybe people didn't think it was funny.
But you could see like that line between, like, we talk about
that's a leap.
You like humor serving a scary movie, like to break tension or to pace things or, you know, to endear you to characters or whatever, but then obviously humor can disrupt the scariness of something if it's not done right. And so maybe some people thought that, like, that moment, either it wasn't meant to be silly and it came across as silly, like that's not what they were trying to do,
or just stupid,
or they were trying to be funny but they didn't do it in a way that served the mood of the movie.
I was like, okay, whatever.
But you, like, it makes you kind of love that guy more because, like, you know, that the Latino security guy, you're like, oh, because we know he's right.
Yeah.
We know he's the only one that knows what's happening here.
And everyone's
here.
Like, okay.
And they were like, looking now, he threw his jam on the floor.
Go get a coffee and take a break.
Yeah.
And he's like, those people are in the elevator. One of them
One of them's the devil.
Yeah. And he's like,
they're like,
Detective Bowden's like,
time to take your break.
So anyway, so then he's been escorted out, and I put it in parentheses, ha ha. And Detective Bowden has information on the temp security guard. He has a record that includes beating someone nearly to death with a bat or something. I can't remember. So he has a rap sheet. And now Bowden seems to have his culprit in the elevator. He's like, this guy has a rap sheet. Something's going on.
So it's clearly him.
It's got to be him.
The black man with a criminal record is definitely the doer.
Yep. So now the fire department has arrived. The detective asks the other riders in the elevators, like, move away from the body. I know there's not much room, but stop touching him. Like, you know, move your bodies away from it. And he's watching the scene. He asks for a volunteer to take the paper out of the victim's pocket because there's like an envelope sticking out of his pocket. And there's a letter that reveals where the victim was headed in the building and who he was. And it turns out it was the office where the person had jumped from. So he was headed there. Mm-hmm. And he's also, he left a note, the victim or the person who had jumped from the building had left a note. And he wrote about the devil's footsteps and other stuff. And you're like, well, that's not great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like he left a note about the devil. And now suddenly the guy who was going over to see that guy ends up dead. Like those are not coincidences. Like something weird is going on.
But it was like, so it was the Better Business Bureau, right? That he had his appointment at. And so they were like, oh, he's like a crooked Ponzi scheme, like piece of shit.
He was a real asshole.
Yeah. And so we're like, one, you know, we've already found out the security guard is like, oh, actually maybe not a good guy. And now we find out that the salesman was not actually kind a good guy.
Scumbag, liar, terrible person. So meanwhile, the firemen attempt to rescue the passenger. You know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. And one of the guy who was like in a hoodie and a jacket, he, you know, he seems a bit like the odd man out, like on the elevator. Mm-hmm. And he's been
really quiet, too.
Yeah. Like. And he seems to be just like taking it all in a lot. Mm-hmm. And when everyone's like yelling and screaming and talking over each other, he's just sort of like standing there, like observing.
Yeah.
So he asks for a boost to get off the out of the top of the elevator. And it seems like he's trying to escape. And then suddenly they're like, pull him back in! And it seemed that seemed kind of random and weird. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense because they were like, we got to get out of here. So let's try to get out of here. And then, but then after they boost him, they were like, wait a minute. Like, there's been a murder. The person getting out is going to be, you know, like.
He could possibly be the murderer.
Right.
So let's pull him back in. So they do that. And he's like, what the hell? I was trying to get us out of here.
Yeah. What are you doing?
What the fuck are you doing? So Detective Bowden gets more information on the salesman. As we mentioned, he has a lot of enemies, his Ponzi scheming bullshit, and people really don't like him. So now there's the engineer of the building. He's attempting to fix the elevator car and is suddenly startled by birds.
Goddamn birds.
He's basically like pulling himself down on a big like lever thing and on like a little swing. And it's like really kind of precarious. And he's startled by the birds and falls and lands on the car of the elevator. And they're like, oh, someone's helping us. Like, oh. Hello, hello. And they hear the walkie. And the security guards are like, who were watching the cameras are like, hey, did you make it to the elevator? Like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, someone's here to help us. And suddenly you see they saw like a pool of blood on the roof of the elevator. So. Yeah. That's not going to pan out, I don't think. So the security, they're not having luck getting him on the horn, which, you know, obviously we know why. And the Detective Bowden, he's like, I'm going to go find out where he is, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So then he discovers that the maintenance worker has died, unfortunately, or the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And he orders the fire department. He's like, go through the walls.
Yeah.
You know, these
like, you have insurance. We need to get these people the fuck out of this elevator before anyone else dies.
Yeah.
So get your saws, cut through the walls.
Yeah. So he's like, this guy, he just died trying to figure out how to get down there. So we're just, what insurance is going to cover this. We just got to get through the wall and get these people out of the elevator car. So the detective goes through the footage of the elevator passengers at this point to figure out who they are. He needs more answers. He finds the woman, and they're not, it's like not them in the elevator. It's them in the lobby.
Right. When they're signing in.
When they're signing in. Yeah. And he finds the woman. Then he sees the older woman who steals a wallet before getting into the elevator. He's like, what the hell is that? Like, we have a weird old woman thief.
A little klepto old lady.
Yeah, klepto old lady who's on the elevator. And then the younger guys in the lobby, he had a satchel with him, and then now it's gone.
Yeah, and they're like, so, oh. Like,
what the hell is that about? Yeah. And everyone seems to have weird, nefarious reasons for being in that
suspicious
building.
Suspicious behavior.
Weird stuff. And so now in the elevator, their lights are going off and on again, and there's thumping, and then there's another attack, and suddenly the older woman is hung from the ceiling by a piece of, like, electrical cord or something. And they're like, oh, my God, you know, like...
We're dropping like flies in here.
What the hell? So now the religious security guard is, he's in the detective's ear now, and he's like, we're here to witness this and to see it. And the detective's like, okay, so what are we supposed to do about it? He's like, I don't, there's not much we can do.
Yeah,
like,
did you not hear me say it's the devil?
It's the devil. I don't know. So now the temp security guard is in there, and the young guy who, they managed to pull the older woman's body down, and, you know, he's trying to, like, close her eyes, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, respect for the dead, but they're also in an elevator, so it's hard to give them space and all that stuff. And they're also very leery of each other because someone's murdering someone, murdering them on the elevator. So eventually the police find the satchel. It was hidden and stashed away, and it's full of, like, tools and weird, you know, stuff. And he's like, is this for, like, sabotaging the elevator? Like, what's this for? You know, it's more questions than actual answers.
Yeah.
So since, you know, since they ran off, I don't know what that means. The elevators speak. Oh, since they ran off, the detective ran off and the other security guide ran off. The only person there watching the elevator footage is the Latino guy.
Security guy. This is when he starts saying the Hail Mary.
Yeah. Then he starts, like, praying into the elevator. And they're like, I mean, honestly, I'm like, what could it hurt?
Yeah, right.
So the remaining passengers finally introduce themselves to each other. Sarah, who's the woman who was cut in the back. Ben, who is the temp security guard with the rap sheet. And Tony, who had the satchel of stuff. We don't know why.
Yeah, hoodie guy.
Yeah. And Sarah does not take Tony's hand when it's offered. She's like, I don't trust you. And Tony starts to comment on Ben's sudden lack of claustrophobia. He's like, oh, your claustrophobia is gone? You're fine now?
Didn't know that it came and went like that.
That's interesting. And then
Ben's now, like, you're still in the same enclosed space, but surrounded by dead bodies. And you're more comfortable?
That's weird. And Ben's like, quit fucking with me, man. And he's like, I'm going to fuck with you more. So they, like, kind of start, like, fighting and attacking each other. Sarah's like, punch him out, punch him out. And then suddenly she's like, wait, no, stop. Because it starts to get, like, really violent.
Yeah.
And then... they're yelling and pushing each other. Finally, the detectives, you know, arrive back in time. And they're like, okay, enough. You, like, put your hands on the wall.
Yeah.
Turn around.
Pick a corner.
And you're not going to interact anymore because I have, like, multiple dead bodies. Something's going on. None of you are here for reasons you're saying. And some of you have a rap sheet and whatever. So, at this point, Detective Bone seems more open to possibilities. So he asks the religious security guard, like, what happens next? And he's like, well, they all die. And he's like, that can't be it. And the detective eventually finds out where the woman was headed, and he speaks to her her lawyer or the guy who has provided services for her. And she has a rap sheet also. But she also married a rich guy. And this rich lawyer happens to be specialized in forensic accounting and other things. Mm-hmm. He's like, and that's all I can tell you.
Right.
So the detective is like, I need to find out who's trying to kill her, Sarah.
Yeah, like, woman, she must be the target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So meanwhile, a woman is spotted. She's, you see her kind of running around outside trying to get in. They're like, this is a crime scene. We're clearing out the building. You can't get in here. And she's like, I'm here to meet somebody. And they're like, we don't care. Yeah. Like, you need to go. So she's trying to get inside the building. We see her. The security guard who went to investigate why the elevator was having electricity issues, he was the guy who was with the Latino security guard. Mm-hmm. He's kind of been tasked with going to find out what's going on with the elevators.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot to mention that the elevator company was shut down, so they're out of business, so mm-hmm. the detective can't. Nobody can be consulted about why this is happening with this issue.
Did they already think that they've figured out the old lady's name?
I don't remember. Like, honestly, I'm trying to recall when.
So I feel there was an early point where they were like, okay, so they had the sign-in sheet and they'd figured out, because they figured out Sarah's name and then they knew who the Better Business Bureau guy was. And so then they were like looking at the other names and they saw this like Jane Kowski or something.
Yeah.
And so like, so that's the old lady. And
they assume she's Jane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then they think that the only person that they haven't identified is the hoodie guy.
The guy, yeah, who introduced himself as Tony.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess this is like the way down in the deeps under the elevators.
Oh yeah, I'm not really sure. The basement or something.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where this is, but he this guy, security guard guy, he's like, he figures out why there's electricity, weird power surges, the issues, and he sees a live wire in the water, mm-hmm. and he gets a stick of wood. And he attempts to fix it. And then eventually, there's like a huge kind of issue with all these people trying to be escorted out of the building. It's full of people. There's the fire department. There's cops. There's like a whole big scene. And then suddenly the guy, the security guard, stumbles in. He's like, he's electrocuted and like passing out, dying on the ground. And mm-hmm. then the detective Bowden's like, oh my God, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
So in the elevator, though, Tony tells Sarah, he's like, I know what you're doing. You're basically trying to get everyone to fight with each other and being kind of a snake mm-hmm. in the background while you're distracting everybody. I'm on to you.
Yeah.
So now at this point, it's finally figured out that Sarah's soon to be ex-husband owns the security company that the temp security guard works for. And Detective Bowden thinks that he's been tasked with killing her inside mm-hmm. the elevator. He's like, these other people are just kind of
collateral damage.
Yeah, collateral damage. Their distraction. Mm-hmm. The main target is her.
Yeah.
So the lights go off and on, and again in the elevator. And we know this is bad news.
Yeah. Like hasn't worked out well in the past.
It's a precursor for bad things happening. Detective Bowden tells them, he's like, turn your cell phone screens on mm-hmm. so we can see what's going on.
Yeah.
On the camera footage. But then the security temp is suddenly, there's like a weird like whooshing and flickering of lights. It's dark. And suddenly Ben, the security temp, is killed. And he's on the ground, dead, with his head turned completely the wrong way.
Yeah.
So you're like, what? Okay. Like, who?
Who did that?
It seems very supernatural to me. Like, suddenly a head's turned the opposite direction. That's
alarming.
Alarming and not easy to do in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So he asks the remaining two, you know, he's like, see what you're doing. And, stop threatening each other, because they grab like glass shards and they're like, get away from me, don't touch me, you know, it's like, keep your distance, and they're like threatening each other because it's like, and then there was one honestly in the elevator
mm-hmm.
and the detective is like, you know, you're trying to just destroy each other, you need to take responsibility for what you are and what mm-hmm. you're doing. Because he didn't trust the guy with the bag of stuff that was stashed. Mm-hmm. And he certainly doesn't think that Sarah is good people.
No, but he's also like, I mean, she probably couldn't turn someone's head all the way around. And I think that we're supposed to think that at this point, the detective is like open to the possibility that something supernatural is happening just because
sudden craziness.
Yeah. And like how things just keep piling up, like all these accidents happening outside the elevator. And then the things happening inside the elevator kind of seem to defy reality.
Right. And he has that security guard's little mouth message that was in his ear. Like, everything that's can happen that's bad is happening.
Yeah.
And jam on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, this, he's like, and then the detective is like kind of realizing, like, oh, the evidence is piling up that he's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That something is going on. So he's like, put down the glass. You know, you guys are both responsible for whatever you've done. You know, you need to stop. So she's like, I'll go first. She puts it down. And then Tony does. But then Sarah does have a big shard of glass in her back pocket,
mm-hmm.
which means she's full of shit.
Yeah.
So suddenly the lights start flickering again. And Tony starts freaking out because he's like, I know I'm next. And then there's movements as the lights are off, and now Sarah is on the ground, and she's been cut across the neck, and she's bleeding out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the ground with her. Tony is, and he's like, "No!" Like
trying to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, stop the bleeding.
Oh my god.
And the police are coming and came into the room, and they tell the detective that there's a woman here who says she knows one of the people on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealed that the guy actually is accounted for. You mm-hmm. know, he's Jan, whatever.
He's Tony Jankowski.
Tony Jankowski. She's like, that's my fiance. He's there for a job interview. He had a bag of tools and he
didn't want to take him into the interview.
Yeah. So he stashed him or whatever.
And so they're like, oh, so the old lady is the one that we don't know who it is.
Who the fuck she is. So, you know, that seems like a pretty good reason for him to, you know, stash his tools in the men's bathroom or whatever.
Seems legitimate. Yeah.
And, suddenly, they are all trying to figure out who the old woman is, and she is suddenly standing up, standing over Tony and a bleeding out Sarah. And she's standing there with black eyes. Mm-hmm. They're like shark eyes.
Yeah.
And she tells Tony it's his turn to take accountability and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what did you do? Why am I here?
Yeah.
And it's then revealed that we see him driving. And of course, as all drunks do, leaning over, trying to get one of the beers that's fallen on the floor of the car. And he's driving and suddenly, and he's drinking and suddenly slams into a car and, you know, makes the other car just like wrecks it. And he gets out of his car and he's like, oh, what did I do? And he stumbles over to see who he hit. And he finds the driver, who is a woman, on the ground dying. And then a young boy has flown from the car a little bit away from the accident, and mm-hmm. he's dead on the scene as well. So Tony's like, oh, I gotta get the hell out of here, because he's a drunk driver. He killed a family, and he has to leave the scene of his crime. So he's like, I'll take accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I was never caught. I left. I killed this family, and I never got caught. And she's like,
and he says, "I'm so sorry," is the same thing written on that.
Yeah,
the note that he left.
There was a note he left, and he's like, "I'm so sorry," and you know, he's begging Satan or the devil to take him instead, and to leave Sarah alone. And suddenly, the walkie falls from the ceiling of the elevator onto his lap,
mm-hmm.
and he's able to confess to, because she's like, nice try. Basically, the devil's like, nice try. You know, like,
that doesn't count.
Doesn't count. And he's like, then the walkie falls in his lap. He's like, okay. And then he like talks into it and like basically says what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying it to Detective Bowden, who lost his family 5 years ago in that exact same spot
mm-hmm.
from a drunk driver that never got caught. So what are the chances? So he's like, yeah, I committed a hit and run. I need to take accountability. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Satan says, oh, damn, I really wanted you.
Yeah.
And the fire department manages to get in right after she says that, damn, mm-hmm. I really wanted you. And Detective Bowden's like, grab her as soon as you see her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's gone.
Of course.
So, because,
you know, she's the devil.
The devil's not going to stick around. So Detective Bowden's like, you know, I'll take him in to the department, or to the police station. I'll mm-hmm. drive him. And he's driving him And he's like, you know, I always thought about what I would do and say to the person when I finally caught the guy who did this to me and my family. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I almost died. Like, I almost didn't care about, like, whether I lived or died. I almost drank myself to death. Mm-hmm. But it's like, he's kind of looking at him and he's like, I forgive you, yeah. Val. And that's kind of the last bit of his story. And mm-hmm. As if you feel like he kind of gets a little bit of relief from his grief.
Yeah.
I think after all of the events of the day and then finally finding this person.
Yeah.
It was orchestrated, mm-hmm. basically, for him to be there. And so maybe he's believing in some sort of higher power at this point, mm-hmm. after basically seeing the devil and, you know, having some answers for these questions that he's had.
Yeah.
And that is the end. And then it's like, the end. And he's like, then it shows Philadelphia upright. And
everything's okay.
Yeah. And then the narrator says some stuff about God. I can't remember. I don't remember.
Yeah, he just finishes, like, you know, telling his story about his mom's, like, that when she would always end her stories with, like kind of like a hopeful, positive message. Yes.
Yeah. And then that is the end of Devil. Yeah. That's the end.
Yeah.
That's the end. Did you find it to be scary?
I think that the first time that I saw this, I did think it was scary. I think that now looking back, I'm not sure what elements of it I would have found scary. I think that the setting of, you know, being in that elevator car, it's kind of like other movies that we've talked about, like that take a situation that is already inherently scary and then you add a supernatural element to it. So like Blair Witch Project, like being lost in the woods would already be terrifying and now mm-hmm. there's a witch. Yeah. Or like the Descent, where it's like being trapped in a cave is already terrifying and then you add cave creatures, mm-hmm. you know? And so this, like being stuck in an elevator, even if you don't have claustrophobia, with people, like with complete strangers, is terrifying. And then you add on top of that, like, oh, people start getting hurt and then people start dying and then you're just surrounded by bodies and like, so
and
that
6 foot by 6 foot. You're exactly. like, oh my God. Scary.
So I think that using that setting like can kind of build in like the viewer's mind like this, like that would be a really frightening situation to be in. I think that some of the devil elements and the moments when people were killed were kind of like shocking and suspenseful.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, I don't know. I feel like I remember thinking it was scarier than I did upon this most recent rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really sure, like looking at it now, I can't really identify what I would have taken away from it. Like, you know, the first time I saw it that made me think that it was really scary. Mm-hmm. I think that they did a really good job of building the story because it was a whodunit, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and then that whole...
In a really small space.
Yeah. Like bodies dropping one by one. So like, you know, my Clue, my favorite movie, but even something like Identity, that John Cusack movie,
mm-hmm.
where it's like you have your cast of characters, they introduce you to your cast of characters, and then you know, there's suspicion and then people start dying one by one by one. And so every time someone dies, you think you're narrowing the field of who is responsible or who the culprit is. But usually, like in this movie and like in Identity as well, that it's somebody that you thought was already taken out of the equation
mm-hmm.
that turns out to be the culprit.
Yeah.
And in this case, like... You would think like, oh, well, you have a smarmy salesman. You have this like kind of sketchy working class looking guy. You've got the temp security guard that's kind of got a little bit of an attitude, just enough of a like each of them. You didn't really like them. You know, yeah. because and I think that was important that they did that with the old lady, because if she was just a sweet old lady, then you would be like, well, she's the only good one on there, so obviously she's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't, like, she was kind of a bitch. Like,
yeah,
she was annoying. Shitty to them, and, like, she was just, like, not a very pleasant person.
Where's your walkie?
Yeah, like,
don't you keep up with these elevators? And he's like, dude, I don't know.
I've been like, why don't you calm down, lady? And so making us dislike all of them, like even at the outset, before we knew their backstories and why they were all, you know, being targeted by the devil for their sins, none of them were really likable. And then except for me, because like with Logan Marshall, I love him and I think he's a good looking guy. And so when he walked onto that elevator, I wasn't mad about it. Like I would have thought that, and maybe that was kind of intentional where he was supposed to seem inoffensive. And so that makes you think, oh, well, he's got to be the bad guy then.
Yeah.
And then when the way that they built the story where they made us think that he was the only one that didn't sign in. And we don't know who he is. And they kept that ruse going for a while.
Right.
Before, you know, it's revealed that the name they attributed to the old lady was actually him and it's the old lady. And so that moment, like they timed that really well, where the revelation of what his name actually was and the fact that he signed in, so the old lady's unaccounted for, it was the moment that the old lady came back to life with her black shark eyes.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, I'm actually the devil, and I could have been way ruder, actually.
Yeah, I didn't have to give you an opportunity to take responsibility for your actions and then get off the hook for them.
Yeah.
So, and I think that there was a lot of religious references in it. A lot of the names were religious or biblical, like, you know, the Bethlehem Turnpike was where his family was killed, where that, you know. And then like the bread truck was like Trinity Bread Company or something. Like there was all this stuff like here and there that was all, you know, Christianity based.
Little breadcrumbs.
Yeah. And so I don't know if that was supposed to, you know, just to be kind of a little Easter egg, because it didn't really do anything to necessarily contribute to whether the movie was scary or not.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I think probably the what actually went on inside the elevator, particularly when the first couple of people just died out of nowhere, like when she first got bit, and then when the salesman suddenly is dead, and now the old lady's hanging from the ceiling, like those moments, I think were probably the part that was like the best occasions for it to be scary.
Yeah.
But it was like twisty and turny and kind of fun in that way.
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it fool you, or do you remember the first time you saw it, if like you fell for the bait, or if you knew all along it was the old lady?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I didn't feel like it was anyone it was obviously trying to point to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't know. I don't remember, honestly. And maybe, no, I don't know. I think, though, I didn't suspect the security guard and anyone. They were like, oh, so-and-so has a rap sheet. So-and-so does this. I'm like, that's too easy.
Yeah, he's off the list.
Yeah. But I enjoyed that she's not part of the equation anymore. Oh, no, wait. No, she is. Yeah. She's like, she's back and alive.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever that is. Unalive. Whatever she is. The older lady. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's kind of always fun when the bad guy turns out to be a member of a senior community or a child.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always a good twist.
Mm-hmm.
And not that senior citizens can't be evil and bad guys, but it's like usually not the norm.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Well, and using like age and gender and things like that are good tools when you're trying to make like one character seem more threatening or one character seem less threatening. And so since the point of this all was to keep you guessing till the end, what was going on, who was doing what, there needed to be like, okay, so like the slim, you know, attractive young woman, but we have to make her like a little snotty and then tell you maybe she's a little bit of like a gold digger or a con artist or something, so that it like balances out what would inherently make you trust her, and then it's balanced out with something that she shouldn't be trustworthy.
Right. Yeah.
So and then like with the salesman, like he was, you know, trying to be charming or whatever, and you were like, okay, well, he's a salesman. He's not charming, but whatever. Like,
he's annoying.
You don't immediately think he's evil or bad. And then you see him kind of get targeted because, like, she thinks he grabbed her ass, but you can kind of see in that moment, like, he didn't move. So we, as the viewer, know that he didn't. And then now all of a sudden we see him treated like he's grabbing a girl's ass that he's stuck on the elevator with, and treated accordingly by the other people in the elevator. So you almost are like feeling a little bit sorry for him, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and he was like, why would I do that in this situation?
Yeah, right? Like, that, like, makes no sense.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that that kind of back and forth of making all of the characters sympathetic in some ways, but also suspicious in some ways, like, allowed them to try and keep you guessing as long as possible about, like, what truly was going on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's, like, the most amazing film I've ever seen.
No.
But I've seen it probably 3 times now. Yeah. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's a fun one.
Yeah.
And I liked it. And I know that M. Night Shyamalan produced it or something.
He got writer credit. He wasn't the only writer on there. And so I don't know if it was, like, you know, kind of his story, or he contributed to the story as the producer. And then the other writer was primarily the actual script writer.
Yeah. I think this was also when his career wasn't doing, it seems a little wonky at this point. Okay,
like a lull.
Yeah, and then The Visit came out. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh no, he's back on his game. So I think that people were not really ready to be receptive to that, any project he was associated with at that time. Yeah, at the time, because it was 2010. You know, it's been a while. So, but I enjoyed the twist, and in any elevator movie scares me. Yeah. I don't want to be in there.
Are you not a fan of elevators?
No, I don't like them. But okay. I mean, I'll ride in it. I don't have, like, a phobia. But yeah. Like, I've seen Resident Evil. Like, I know what can happen if you try to get your head chopped off.
Clean off.
It's funny because on my Discord, what was it, like, last week? One of my friends was like, I heard someone yelling in the elevator, and he had to go investigate. And he's like, the person plugged in the elevator or a vacuum, and it was like a cleaning crew, and they're like vacuuming in the elevator, and then the elevator was like went up.
Oh my god!
With
the cord out,
going up, yeah, and then she was stuck because the elevator stopped.
Oh my god!
I think, and then he's like, oh my gosh! So then he called somebody, and it got fixed. But I was like, that's
a hard
not
no.
it. Nope, no, no, no.
Yeah,
that's no good.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. If you were somebody, like, if you were somebody that experiences claustrophobia or already is not a fan of elevators, like, that would contribute to making this
a little bit scary.
Yeah, it would affect you a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I did read that it supposedly is actually based on a true, like, folktale that they call the Devil's Meeting.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if the folktale is, like, you know, from a Hispanic country, and then that was, like, why we had our Latino security guard being the one, like, relaying the story from his mom, like, if that's actually the cultural origin of it. I didn't actually dig very deep into it, but it kind of makes sense that this would be, you know, especially from a quote-unquote God-fearing culture, you know, that believe in God and believe in the devil, and believe in punishment for your sins and believe in hell, that there would be, like, cautionary tales like this of, like, oh, you know, you gotta keep your eye on, because the devil's among us, you know, and he's gonna come for the people that, you know, are damned, and he's gonna mess with them on earth before he takes them to hell. Like, all of those things were always constructed to frighten people into doing the right thing. Yeah. It's not a natural human
trait. A tale as old as time.
Yeah.
I want to do the wrong thing all the time.
Yeah. So I thought that was, it, you know, if that really was the inspiration for the story, to take this old folktale or legend and, you know, put it in, like, a modern, you know, urban setting, in circumstances where it's like, well, yeah, if the devil was real and was enacting these meetings in modern society, like, this would be a brilliant scenario for the devil to construct. Because then you think back to the beginning of the movie when the old lady and the salesman were waiting for the elevator together, and the crowded one, they were like, come on, you guys would fit, and the old lady was like, no, I'm going to wait. And then behind them, an empty one opens up. And then mm-hmm. the two of them get on. And then the security guard gets on. And then the girl gets on. And then the mechanic gets on last. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the devil contrived this situation.
Yeah.
Like she waited. She timed everything. And so when an empty car was there, and then she gathered like the people that she was there to torment.
Mm-hmm.
She's very crafty.
Perfect.
That old lady devil.
Old lady devil, who stole a wallet, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the devil, it's antics. It's just antics.
Yeah, a little scamp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what movie we're doing next, by the
way. We keep doing that. We keep, like, sitting down to record without deciding what's going to come next. But, so, yeah, it'll be a surprise again, like it was last time.
Sorry.
But it will be fall. You know, approaching Thanksgiving season. So, you know, maybe, hey, why don't you guys email us suggestions for autumnal movies?
Yeah.
So we don't accidentally do something like The Reaping again.
I know. Or I was like, I hate this.
You're like, do we have to?
I'll tug on it.
Can we pull the plug on this?
I liked the setting.
Yeah,
that's my go-to.
Yeah.
I
feel like was it last Thanksgiving when they actually made that movie that was called Thanksgiving? And then we were like, oh, well, it came out too late for us to do it for our Thanksgiving episode this year, but maybe next year. And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, no.
This is so
terrible. Oh, no, this is really bad.
I think I watched maybe 10 minutes. I was like, I don't need to do that.
Oh, I watched the whole thing. And it was basically they took I Know What You Did Last Summer and put a pilgrim in it. Like they just, instead of the guy in a fisherman slicker, he was in a pilgrim costume. Yeah. Like that was it.
Fun.
Fun was had by all.
No, thanks.
Except the turkeys.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I guess, whatever movie we do
TBD.
Next time will be a surprise.
TBD.
Yeah.
All right,
thanks for coming anyway.
Bye.
Bye.